Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I had the chance to sit down and talk with conductor Lahav Shani when he was in town to conduct the Philadelphia Orchestra. The program included Prokofiev's Fifth Symphony, which turns out to have been a very important piece in Lahav Shani's career choice.
The Prokofiev Fifth Symphony, first of all, is one of my absolutely favorite symphonies and one of the pieces that really pushed me into conducting. I really wanted to express this music myself.
What specifically about it made you want to be a conductor?
Oh, you know, it's so difficult to, when you really love something, when you're really attracted to something or someone, it's really difficult to point out exactly what it is because it's always a combination of things. But in any case, with Prokofiev, it's just this composer in general really speaks to me and always spoke to me from early childhood. I would always listen to Prokofiev and Mozart as a child. Those were my two absolutely favorite. And I don't think it changed much during the years. It's many things. Of course, it's the very energetic, rhythmical element, the wonderful characterization of the different characterizations inside basically every piece, the wonderful lyricism, which especially in this symphony comes out. And for me personally, as a musician, I find it incredibly original, especially in terms of the harmony. I feel that the harmonic tension in Prokofiev, he really found out a new way of writing absolutely tonal harmony, the most traditional harmony, basically, as in music of Bach, let's say. But in a very specific way, not just chromatic, like in Richard Strauss or in Wagner and so on, but really a very different way, let's say very dirty, dirty way of writing very basic harmony.
What do you mean by dirty harmony?
Well, dirty harmony means that the basic structure of the harmony is very clear. The bass, for example, always leads to the next step, as I'm saying, as if it would have been Bach or Mozart or anything like that. So you know exactly where is the tension leading you into. But the tension itself is dirty. It's not as pure as in the music of Bach and Mozart. It's modern. And basically, he would add the strangest notes to these pure harmonies. That's why I like to describe it as dirty, because there's so many notes that don't belong, so to say, in the traditional way. And that's exactly why they have these special colors. And it sounds like nothing else, but really very unique.
Well, it's such a dramatic symphony. Is there anything in particular we should listen for or just let it carry us?
I can say that I fell in love with the piece without knowing anything about it, just by listening to it when I was much younger. Therefore, I know from my own experience that it's possible to really love it without knowing much about it. But I think maybe to put it in the right historical context is not a very bad idea. The piece was written, I believe, in summer 44, so during the Second World War. However, in a time when it became clear that the Nazis will probably be defeated. So it was the start of smell of optimism in the air. That doesn't say that the symphony is all the time optimistic, but definitely it celebrates the humankind and the good things about humanity. And that's even something that Prokofiev said himself about the piece. So there is definitely a lot of positive feelings in the piece, especially in the first movement, second movement as well. There's a little bit, second movement, I think very often is being done very sardonically, very sarcastically. And of course, these things are there. But I always feel there is also the elegant element in this movement, a little bit salon dance, something a little bit maybe from the old world, but then really celebrating at the same time and very, very joyful. But then, of course, we have in the third movement something that is much more resembling elegia, elegy, let's say the sad part of the symphony. And I don't want to get too subjective. What does it mean? It can mean so many things. It can also just be musical meaning. But overall, it's just the piece really carries you, and these fantastic melodies and their development. Yeah, I mean, there's so much in this piece that I don't feel it's necessary to add anything to it, honestly.
Well, your enthusiasm is great, and we look forward to hearing it. You have a lot happening in your professional life right now. You're the principal guest conductor of the Vienna Symphony. You are soon stepping in to be the chief conductor at the Rotterdam Philharmonic, following Yannick Nezet-Séguin. And soon after that, you will become the music director of the Israel Philharmonic, which Zubin Mehta has led for
50 years.
50 years. Wow.
Yeah. Wow, indeed. Wow. I'm saying the same thing.
Well, it must be a challenge to come into an orchestra which has been shaped by one person for so long. But I guess you've grown up with the Israel Philharmonic as well.
Definitely. The Israel Philharmonic really plays a special role in my life since childhood. I used to live 5 minutes walking from then the Mann Auditorium, today the Bronfman Auditorium, and listen to many, many concerts with different conductors, but mostly with Zubin Mehta. And then later on, I played with the orchestra as a soloist, as a pianist, and later many times as a double bass player. And I studied with the principal double bass player of the Israel Philharmonic. And then I used to go on tours with them. Once I even went on a tour on a triple role as a double bass player, as a pianist in Petrushka, and as assistant conductor of Zubin Mehta after I was studying just 1 year in Berlin.
How was that?
Incredible, the unforgettable experience. And it was a very long tour, almost a month in the Far East. I really became a good friend with all of the musicians on the tour. On the very last rehearsal, acoustic rehearsal in Seoul, in Korea, Maestro Mehta let me conduct the orchestra for the first time. And the piece was Le Sacre du Printemps, Rite of Spring, which is, I'm sure you know, is one of the most difficult pieces both to conduct and for the orchestra to play. And with such a demanding orchestra, it was a huge risk. But as I'm saying, at the time, we were very good friends already, and there was a very positive energy in the air, and the orchestra really wanted me to do well. And it was a very nice time to conduct the orchestra for the first time. And then later on, after I won the Mahler competition 2013 in Bamberg, Germany, the orchestra was really the first orchestra to invite me, the Israel Philharmonic, just a few months later, 3 or 4 months later, to open their season in the new renovated hall, the Mann Auditorium. And since then, I've been conducting the orchestra regularly every year. So it's really, I feel I've known these musicians basically my entire life. Now there is a big generation change, and many of the new musicians really literally grew up with me and studied with me in Tel Aviv and so on. So some of them are really childhood friends. Some of them were my teachers. I feel a very, very deep connection to the orchestra.
Well, you've been involved in music since you were very young. You were playing piano as a soloist. Was there a particular point that made you decide you wanted to become a conductor?
Well, first of all, my father is a choir conductor. So in a way, I was aware of this option, let's say, from a very early age. But at the same time, as a pianist, which I still am a pianist, and my dream was to become a pianist, I didn't really think about conducting so much. And then gradually I started discovering the orchestral repertoire in my teens. And then after I started playing the double bass and play in orchestras professionally, including the Israel Philharmonic, then I was more and more attracted to the idea of really making my musical decisions and leading the orchestra in a certain way that I thought is the right way for me, very subjectively. And at the beginning, it was only leading the bass group. I thought, that's what I want to do. Then when I actually was able to lead the bass group, I thought I would love to lead the entire orchestra if I could. But I never thought about conducting. It was not really, definitely not the profession itself, the career and everything that goes with it. But it was purely musical impulse. And really the very strong feeling that if I would just have the chance, I know exactly what I would have done. And you know, I'm sure many musicians feel like that in the orchestra, especially in incredible orchestras, like the ones that I'm very lucky to conduct in the recent years. But of course, I knew it doesn't mean anything. Maybe I just have these feelings, and I thought I should just give it a try and just see how it goes.
So what do you think the role of a conductor is?
Well, I would say it depends which orchestra we're talking about. I think the conductors, you know, very often we say that the same orchestra is changing from one conductor to the other. You can play the same piece with an orchestra and you just put different conductors, they don't even have to say anything. Just by their presence, the orchestra is changing their sound and so on. It's true. In competitions, for example, you see it very clearly. You see the changes. But I also think that the conductor himself or herself should change from one orchestra to the other. In other words, you should always be very sensitive to the musicians that are playing to see how they react to you. What are they expecting from you? What can you do to develop what they're already doing? How can you help? What is unnecessary? That's also very important to think. I always thought as a bass player in the orchestra, and I'm sure many musicians think the same, that the conductor is most of the time unnecessary. I still feel like that, I must say. And I'm sometimes embarrassed to just stand on the stage when I know that the musicians do almost everything by themselves. And I don't want to overdo anything, and I don't want it to look like I'm controlling everything. So definitely, you should always know when you're unnecessary and just let the musicians play, let them do what they know. And then you need to really have the right feeling when comes the moment where you're absolutely necessary. Not specifically you, but someone should be there and just give a sign, give a certain guidance. It doesn't have to be for timing. It can be for the character, for the atmosphere, for voicing. It could be many things. But you have to be always aware, sort of step in and out, you know? So that the musicians always have the feeling that they are the ones expressing themselves, which is the right way to do it. And not that anyone else is controlling every single note. They are the ones playing, they are the ones expressing, and somebody is standing there and tries to connect everything with each other and be the center of everything, but not impose yourself upon it. That's why I never come to an orchestra with 100% clear vision of what kind of sound I want to hear, what is the exact tempo. Some conductors are coming with a metronome, and that's the only right tempo. You must let the musician play. You must give them a chance. See, maybe you like something that you didn't think should be like that, and then it's much better to just keep it like that and let the musicians just express themselves and see what you can change, maybe even in your concept sometimes, to make everything go together. I think the rehearsal should be much more an improvisation process for the conductor, provided that he or she really studied the score and really knows how everything relates to each other. At the end of it, to summarize everything, I think the conductor is really the one to put all the different relationships in the piece together and make sure that everything connects the right way.
It sounds as if you're having great success with this philosophy. Do you have any particular mentors in conductors?
Definitely. My biggest mentor is Daniel Barenboim, which has been, not only a great mentor, a friend, a colleague in recent years, basically since I moved to Berlin almost 10 years ago. I would go to his rehearsals, always in Berlin, his opera rehearsals, his symphonic rehearsals. I studied so much for him. I'm definitely very much influenced by him. I'm very, very lucky and very privileged to have him as my first soloist on my first official concert in Rotterdam as chief conductor. This is really a gift for me, this person, this human being and musician. And of course, Zubin Mehta, as the first world-class conductor I've worked with, probably the first one I've seen in a concert, deeply influenced me from the very beginning and actually really encouraged me to pursue my dreams in leading the orchestra, as it were. And I think these are the two figures I feel influenced me most.
Is there one lesson that you take with you from them? Not just about music, about anything.
Well, there are many things. I cannot say I can point just one thing, because each one of them, both of them are very different and have their own qualities. I can say I studied from Barenboim, I studied so much about pacing the music. Sometimes really almost in a calculated way. Of course, in the concert, it must come out as the most spontaneous way and natural and organic, but just the right pacing and knowing exactly where you're going. And so, because at the end, you are telling a story to the audience. And if you're just playing by ear and just seeing where it goes and just go by feeling, then it's very easy to just lose yourself. And in a symphonic piece like that, Prokofiev Fifth, you really must know always where you're going and how long will it take you to get there and what should you do meanwhile. That's, I think, one of the most important things, and how to achieve that, of course. And then on top of that, many other things. But I think that's one of the most important things. From Zubin Mehta, I think one of the most important things I really already really impressed me as a bass player playing with him many times is always the feeling, and I know that all the musicians in the orchestra share this feeling, every single musician in the orchestra feels that Zubin Mehta is looking at them the entire concert. I could never understand how he does it. I mean, obviously he conducts usually by heart, but it's not only that, it's really the feeling that he's with you all the time, that he's there, he gives so much confidence in the playing. I think that's one of the words you hear many musicians say about him, is the confidence in the concert. You know that nothing can go wrong, basically. This is a fantastic feeling that you can get from a conductor, the feeling of being constantly supported by someone. And that's definitely something that I always try to use myself.
Last question. You are so busy with your music. What role does music play in your life? What does it mean? And do you have time for anything else?
Well, it's difficult for me to say what role it plays in my life because I feel that I cannot imagine my life without it. And I never could. It's not like I discovered music at some point in my life, but I feel it was always there. I can't remember a single moment without music in my mind. I can remember a moment where I didn't want to listen to music, or there's always a piece of music in my mind. If I'm not speaking or if nobody else is speaking around me, immediately some piece would pop up. Could be the most random thing also sometimes. I'm really surprised by myself, but it's always there. That's the role it plays in my life. It's just always there.
So music chose you as much as you chose music.
Definitely, yes. And yes, I have time for other things, and I enjoy very much my free time and with my fiance, which is here with me now in Philadelphia, and to just travel together and eat well, cook when we're at home, playing backgammon, meeting friends, watching television, movies, reading, whatever. I mean,
well, I hope you have a great time in Philadelphia. Thank you so much, Lahav Shani.
Thank you very much.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.